Summer Readings. A Summer Breeze. Summer breezes encircle my heart, ultimately claiming my dreams. Memories made and lessons learned move my mind and my soul, it seems. Every year will plant a seed. Remember well each summer breeze. June, Week 1, Monday. 1. Night and Moonlight, Excerpted. Reading. Many men walk by day, few walk by night. It is a very different season. Take a July night, for instance. About 10 o'clock, when man is asleep, and day fairly forgotten, the beauty of moonlight is seen over lonely pastures where cattle are silently feeding. On all sides, novelties present themselves. Instead of the sun, there are the moon and stars. Instead of the wood thrush, there is the whippoorwill. Instead of butterflies in the meadows, fireflies, winged sparks of fire. Who would have believed it? What kind of cool, deliberate life dwells in those dewy abodes associated with a spark of fire? So man has fire in his eyes, or blood, or brain. Instead of singing birds, the half-throttled note of a cuckoo flying over, the croaking of frogs, and the intenser dream of crickets. But above all, the wonderful trump of the bullfrog, ringing from Maine to Georgia. The potato vines stand upright, the corn grows apace, the bushes loom, the grain fields are boundless. On our open river terraces, once cultivated by the Indian, they appear to occupy the ground like an army, their heads nodding in the breeze. Small trees and shrubs are seen in the midst, overwhelmed as by an inundation. The shadows of rocks and trees and shrubs and hills are more conspicuous than the objects themselves. The slightest irregularities in the ground are revealed by the shadows, and what the feet find comparatively smooth appears rough and diversified in consequence. For the same reason, the whole landscape is more variegated and picturesque than by day. The smallest recesses in the rocks are dim and cavernous. The ferns in the wood appear of tropical size. The sweet fern and indigo in overgrown wood paths wet you with dew up to your middle. The leaves of the shrub oak are shining as if a liquid were flowing over them. The pools seen through the trees are as full of light as the sky. The light of the day takes refuge in their bosoms, as the Purana says of the ocean. All white objects are more remarkable than by day. A distant cliff looks like a phosphorescent space on a hillside. The woods are heavy and dark. Nature slumbers. You see the moonlight reflected from particular stumps in the recesses of the forest, as if she selected what to shine on. These small fractions of her light remind one of the plant called moonseed, as if the moon were sowing it in such places.
Tuesday. 2. A Smuggler. Reading. The suspicious-looking man drove up to the border, where he was greeted by a sentry. When the guard looked in the trunk, he was surprised to find 6 sacks bulging at the seams. "What's in here?" he asked. "Dirt," the driver replied. "Take them out," the guard instructed. "I want to check them." Obliging, the man removed the bags, and sure enough, each one of them contained nothing but dirt. Reluctantly, the guard let him go. A week later, the man came back, and once again, the sentry looked in the truck. "What's in the bags this time?" he asked. "Dirt, more dirt," said the man. Not believing him, the guard checked the sacks, and once again he found nothing but soil. The same thing happened every week for 6 months, and it finally became so frustrating to the guard that he quit and became a bartender. Then one night, the suspicious-looking fellow happened to stop by for a drink. Hurrying over to him, the former guard said, "Listen, pal, drinks are on the house tonight, if you'll do me a favor. Just tell me what the hell you were smuggling all that time." Grinning broadly, the man leaned close to the bartender's ear and whispered, "Cars."
Wednesday, 3. She walks in beauty. She walks in beauty like the night, of cloudless climes and starry skies, and all that's best of dark and bright meet in her aspect and her eyes. Thus mellowed to that tender light, which heaven to gaudy day denies, one shade the more, one ray the less, had half impaired the nameless grace, which waves in every raven tress, or softly lightens o'er her face, where thoughts serenely sweet express, how pure, how dear their dwelling place, and on that cheek and o'er that brow, so soft, so calm, yet eloquent, the smiles that win, the tints that glow, but tell of days in goodness spent, a mind at peace with all below, a heart whose love is innocent. Thursday, 4. Leisure. What is this life, if full of care, we have no time to stand and stare, no time to stand beneath the boughs, and stare as long as sheep or cows, no time to see the woods we pass, where squirrels hide their nuts in grass, no time to see in broad daylight streams full of stars like skies at night, no time to turn at beauty's glance and watch her feet, how they can dance, no time to wait till her mouth can enrich that smile her eyes began. A poor life this, if full of care, we have no time to stand and stare.
Friday, 5. Don't we all? Reading. I was parked in front of the mall wiping off my car. I had just come out from the car wash and was waiting for my wife to get out of work. Coming my way from across the parking lot was what society would consider a bum. From the looks of him, he had no car, no home, no clean clothes, and no money. There are times when you feel generous, but there are other times that you just don't want to be bothered. This was one of those don't-want-to-be-bothered times. "I hope he doesn't ask me for any money," I thought. He didn't. He came and sat on the curb in front of the bus stop, but he didn't look like he could have enough money to even ride the bus. After a few minutes, he spoke. "That's a very pretty car," he said. He was ragged, but he had an air of dignity around him. His scraggly blonde beard kept more than his face warm. I said, "Thanks," and continued wiping off my car. He sat there quietly as I worked. The expected plea for money never came. As the silence between us widened, something inside said, "Ask him if he needs any help." I was sure that he would say yes, but I held true to the inner voice. "Do you need any help?" I asked. He answered in three simple but profound words that I shall never forget. We often look for wisdom in great men and women. We expect it from those of higher learning and accomplishments. I expected nothing but an outstretched, grimy hand. He spoke the three words that shook me. "Don't we all?" he said. I was feeling high and mighty, successful and important, above a bum in the street, until those three words hit me like a 12-gauge shotgun. "Don't we all?" I needed help. Maybe not for bus fare or place to sleep, but I needed help. I reached in my wallet and gave him not only enough for bus fare, but enough to get a warm meal and shelter for the day. Those three little words still ring true. No matter how much you have, no matter how much you have accomplished, you need help too. No matter how little you have, no matter how loaded you are with problems, even without money or a place to sleep, you can give help. Even if it's just a compliment, you can give that. You never know when you may see someone that appears to have it all. They are waiting on you to give them what they don't have, a different perspective on life, a glimpse at something beautiful, a respite from daily chaos that only you through a torn world can see. Maybe the man was just a homeless stranger wandering the streets. Maybe he was more than that. Maybe he was sent by a power that is great and wise to minister to a soul too comfortable in themselves.